This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. If Governor Abbott does not vote a veto SB 3, the hemp THC ban, then on September 1st, all THC products in Texas will become illegal. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says that's going to be a good thing. He made passing this ban a priority because he says these products are a threat to public health and safety for all Texans. But a coalition of veterans, conservatives, chronic pain sufferers, hemp industry advocates, and others say these products are necessary for many in Texas, and this ban is a step backward for them, their health, and for freedom in the state. Mark Bordas joins us. He is the executive director for the Texas Hemp Business Council. And Mark, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much. It's good to be here.
So what indicators do you have? You're betting on Governor Abbott taking out his veto pen and saying, we don't want this. He's going to veto it. He's got the power as the Texas governor that we don't really have a veto override in the state. So any indicators, what do you see? What are the odds that Abbott's going to do this?
Well, I have great faith in Governor Abbott. I think he's a thoughtful elected official with a background in the law. Of course, he's a former attorney general. And so when he weighs the facts, I think that there's a very good chance that he does sign a veto. And there's precedent for that. Governor Ron DeSantis did the same thing. Just about a year ago, on June 7th, 2024, he vetoed similar legislation in Florida. And I guess the takeaway from all this is that this is not an isolated incident. The hemp industry is under assault from certainly the beer industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and oddly enough, our cousins in the marijuana industry. And why might you ask that's the case? That's because of falling sales.
Which cousins, which marijuana industry? There's one that's kind of on the, you know, in the back alleys of Texas, you know, that one, the one that comes across the border in the middle of the night.
No, not them. and quite frankly, they're probably working hard behind the scenes to make sure Governor Abbott does sign this into law. They're the ones that would benefit by it. But we have the Texas Compassionate Use Program here in the state, and there's only three licensees, and one of which does over 70% of the patients and over 80% of the prescriptions. And so they benefit by this. They blame the failures of Teacup on hemp. And so with that, they have been behind Senate Bill 3 all along.
But people have criticized this bill, saying it is a gift to the cartels.
Absolutely. You know, nature abhors a vacuum. There's obviously this product is widely accepted and popular. It's organic and natural alternative to alcohol or opioids. And listen, let's not be fooled. I've already talked to a few of the producers that are already in other states looking for new locations. And that's completely antithetical to the Texas experience in that, we're for economic opportunities and individual freedom. So you also juxtapose that against, we passed two other bills. So House Bill 46, of course, expanded Teacup. And we were never opposed to that. And then there's the piece of legislation that allows for studies on Ibogaine. And so it seems completely rational to also allow for access to hemp. Certainly Teacup has its place, but for folks that don't need that high of a dosage of THC, hemp is just a natural and viable alternative. And, you know, we employ over 53,000 Texans. It's a $10 billion a year plus enterprise. It grows year over year. Politicians often state that small business is the backbone of our economy, eighth largest economy in the world. So I find it hard to believe, going back to your initial question, that we would shutter the doors on this economy and on this industry in the state of Texas.
Well, say what you will about Governor Abbott. He is a savvy, crafty, practical politician. Would does it matter that people speak up and saying we think this legislation is a mistake and we want the lawmakers to have another crack at it, maybe put in some restrictions for underage purchases and tighter licensing, but this is not the bill for us right now. You know, please veto it. People need to speak up.
Well, listen, I think this is a failure from an enforcement standpoint. By their own admission, DSHS, the Department of State Health Services, testified that they have 4.5, and I don't know where they get that half person, but 4.5 full-time employees seeking to oversee the regulation of over 8,000 licensees, right? I mean, that's an insurmountable task. And then if you look back at the testimony that was given during two public hearings, one which started at around 8 o'clock in the morning and went till around 10:30 at night, the other that started around 8 o'clock in the morning and went to 2:30 the next morning, over 90% of the people that showed up were against Senate Bill 3. I'd like to think, to your question, that public opinion matters. This is representative democracy. It's a republic. And heaven help the party or the individual that ignores that. Again, this is widely accepted, a popular product. It is federally legal, whereas marijuana is still a Schedule I drug at the federal level. And, that was U.S. Farm Act of 2018 under the Trump administration, is who defined what hemp is. And that's 0.3% or less THC by dry weight. That's the least amount of psychoactive compound THC available. Everything else is marijuana, which is still a Schedule I drug, right? Mm-hmm. And so when people talk about the horror stories of having THC poison or having an adverse reaction to THC, does it stand to reason that they had that reaction as a result of high potency THC or the least amount of THC available?
Well, that's probably why they have half an inspector. He oversamples the high THC products, so he's kind of half on, half off.
Yeah, he's
half
had his half life after that. You know.
All right, so I'm going to listen to a voicemail call we have here.
Hi, my name is David. Talking about the cannabis prohibition in Texas. In the United States, there are approximately 178,000 alcohol-related deaths every year. So that tells me that we are okay with an intoxicating substance with no medical necessity. There are also about 47,000 gun-related deaths, but in Texas, we have no red flag laws to protect us. So that tells me that we're okay with protecting our rights to self-defense without common sense safety regulations. However, there are no documented fatal overdoses from cannabis, and there's widespread support for decriminalization. So I have to ask myself why this law would help anybody. In Texas, we love the mantra of freedom, but we currently have some of the most restrictive laws. You cannot even buy alcohol on Sundays. Upholding prohibition goes against the will of the people and the principles of limited government. Thank you.
So a lot of arguments there. So Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick made a great show of talking about how this was necessary for public safety, that all adults in Texas were not able to self-regulate in using these products. And so he wanted completely banned, but he doesn't apply that to other products that Texas taxes and sells.
Well, I think there's a good reason for that, because they're well-established industries with well-established lobbies that know how to play the game. This industry is relatively new. Up until last, November, I would say we weren't organized because no one took the threat seriously until the lieutenant governor basically put out the edict to prevent or to eliminate all THC consumables. And so that's when the industry kind of woke up and thought, hey, we better circle the wagons. This is a real threat. And again, the proponents of the elimination of consumable THC like to kind of wrap themselves in that moral, warm, fuzzy, warm blanket. And in reality, it comes down to cash. And again, they're losing money. That's why hemp is suddenly a threat. It's not a public health, safety, and welfare threat. It's a threat to their wallet. And that's what's happened.
So what will be banned? What forms of THC products? Does this include Delta 8, Delta 9 stuff?
Oh, yeah. You've got, you're down to CBD and CBG. And the amount of purity that's called for, one chemist, one of the leading chemists in the state, when he testified before the Senate, said that it was tantamount to scientific ignorance or illiteracy was his word. You can't achieve it.
Well, real quickly, what does that mean? How are they being ignorant?
Well, it's a broad spectrum. It's naturally occurring in the plant. It's the cannabis plant. You cannot remove trace elements of over 120 cannabinoids to get to the purity level that they're requiring for CBD or CBG.
All right, a lot more questions. And when we come back, about what this ban would look like in Texas, whether or not Texans can convince Governor Abbott to whip out that veto pen that he loves to use, and what would a working system, a regulatory framework that is good for Texas, what would that look like? And why didn't we end up with that? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues. I'm going to get Loretta on the air when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about SB3, which is the past hemp THC ban in the state of Texas. It is on Governor Abbott's desk. He can veto it. And if he doesn't veto it, it becomes law. The deadline for vetoing is June 22nd. You can call in with your questions and comments as we talk about what the world would look like if he does allow this to become law. The number is 833-877-8255. Let's go to Loretta. Hi, Loretta. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Okay, so there's a lot of focus on hemp products and marijuana, but in case this law does go into effect, there are a lot of legal herbs that have anti-anxiety properties. And I hesitate to name them because you do need to research their effects because some of them can interfere with medication. But things like passion flower and hops and chamomile, you know, you have to look it up and call your doctor and things like that. But all you have to do is make a strong tea. So I wish that we could research better the impact of teas. The problem is it doesn't make medical companies much money to buy a dollar's worth of loose leaf tea. So it isn't researched enough. But if perhaps the hemp industry could do some of this research, and then we could vary our agriculture and grow some of these herbs in Texas. So that's my comment.
All right. Well, Loretta, thank you so much. So nothing like a good cup of herbal tea to help you relax. But we do know that hemp does have a lot of uses, and there are a lot of people who have turned to it for their anxiety, PTSD, pain management. So talk about that, Mark. How are people going to manage if these products are taken away on September 1st?
Oh, they'll still be here. I mean, it's delusional to think that you're going to stop this from coming in to the state. It's just they'll be out-of-state manufacturers making money rather than Texas enterprises. It'll still be here. And then you have a little thing called e-commerce. People will begin to order things off e-commerce. And again, these companies that are filling the orders aren't going to be under the regulations or the licensing requirements of Texas. We've seen it before. You've seen it in the vape space, right? There was a feeding frenzy on Juul, and then people began to order cartridges on the internet under the assumption that it must be good or it must be safe, whatever e-commerce site is offering it up. And then you have people suffering from popcorn lung. I mean, this is no different. And to your point earlier, the cartels are loving every minute of it. I mean, the number one cause of death for 18 to 45 year olds is fentanyl poisoning. That's what we ought to be worried about. Number one cause of death, 18 to 45 year olds. But we're concentrating on hemp, the least amount of psychoactive THC compound available. It's absolutely ludicrous. It defies common sense. It just doesn't make sense. So to that point, if this goes through, do you think fentanyl deaths are going to go up or they're going to go down when the cartel fills the void?
Well, they like to put fentanyl in all their products, so it'd probably go up.
I think most Texans realize that.
So what would a kind of regulatory framework that you think should have been adopted that does solve some of the main problems? Like, we really did not want young people to be having ease, free access to these powerful THC products.
Sure. Well, like any industry, our industry has a few bad actors out there. There's some bad attorneys. There's bad lobbyists. You can go on and on. And so we're not immune to that. So what we've tried to do the last several sessions is clean up our own industry by making sure that the product itself is age-gated, 21 plus, just like alcohol, just like tobacco. We have setbacks from schools and churches, just like alcohol, just like tobacco. And then we have tamper-proof packaging as well. But those efforts have been rebuffed. And so here we are. Rather than doing thoughtful regulation, they're seeking elimination. And I'll say this too. You know, we have history on our side. Prohibition didn't work in the 1920s for alcohol. We're in 2025, age of e-commerce, and Americans are more mobile than ever. Then you have the Interstate Commerce Clause. Then you have public opinion. Multiple polls have been conducted on this. Over 70% of Texans think it ought to be highly regulated, not eliminated. Every major newspaper in this state has come out against Senate Bill 3. We've had robust hearings where over 90% of the public came out and opposed Senate Bill 3. We have science on our side. As I said, you cannot attain the level of purity that's called for in the bill. And as a result, I mean, look at where we are now. It defies logic. This is a triumph of raw politics over thoughtful policy. This is one individual's agenda, or maybe a couple of individuals who've used the power of their position to impose their will on the rest of Texas. And it won't end up well. It will not end up well. People will not forget this. The VFW, the national VFW, as well as the state VFW, has come out against this, and they are hot under the collar. It has saved lives. It has changed lives. And now you're taking away viable alternatives from adults. That will not play well. Won't play well at the polls. I don't know if you are familiar with Dana Lash, podcaster, conservative podcaster, but she's beside herself with this as well. I mean, the outrage, again, transcends party lines. Last thing I'll leave you with, I know you probably have a few more questions, but now that I'm on a roll.
Keep going.
For the first time since probably the Reagan era, the Republican Party appealed to more young adults in the election than the Democrat Party. You ask yourself why that might be. Well, look what we just went through with the pandemic and the restrictions and the requirements to get vaccines. People want to make their own decisions on their own wellness. And I go back to the Ibogaine. I go back to the expanded teacup, which we were not opposed to.
That's the Texas compassionate use.
That's exactly right. People deserve and demand choices when it comes to their individual health and welfare.
So let me ask you about compassionate use theme. Because I'm running out of time here. So they have tried to offset the ban on THC products by saying we're expanding compassionate use. Is that real?
No, it's a shell game. Listen, the teacup program is an abysmal failure. You have three licenses, only one of which is truly active, for the second most populous state in America. That's an affront to the common sense.
Well, they said they added chronic pain as a qualifier for compassionate use.
Sure, but you have to have the money and be within the right type of zip code, right, for them to locate near you to make it worth your while. It's okay. Another ruse. This thing was built to fail. It has failed, and now we're doubling down on failure.
Let me go to Kurt. Let me go to caller. Is it Kurt on
sure.
the air? Hey, Kurt, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yes, I just have one comment to say about the state of Texas in general, and it's this. It's hard to two-step if you keep shooting yourself in the foot. Thank you.
Okay, all right. So I covered the Republican state convention when they were in San Antonio last year and covered, you know, their platform committee and their planking committee and everything they talked about, and they really worked on their what they want to see the Republican Party to deal with in the state of Texas. This was not anywhere on the platform or their planks. This was not something that came up with these conservatives, Republicans, you know, trying to direct, you know, the party's priorities.
No, absolutely. It's one man's priority. One man has driven this. And it's ridiculous. Again, used all the powers of the office to get us to where we are. The governor should not even be in this position. It's not a priority of his. Was not a priority of the speakers. Not a priority of the state GOP. Certainly not a priority of the Democrat Party of our state.
Democratic.
Here
party.
We are.
Yeah, and so you're talking about. So this is Dan Patrick's priority. So how did he get it passed? I mean, he doesn't have all those votes by himself. He's got to get, you know, he's got to round up.
Well, he has leveraged the power of the office. He's arguably, some people would say, the most powerful elected official in Texas, because nothing can even contemplate becoming law until it gets voted on by the Senate, and he controls what gets voted on. And guess what? He withheld the school finance bill and the state budget until he got the votes he needed to pass this. And he also threatened with a special session. You got to pass a complete THC ban or we're coming in. Don't go home. You'll be here this summer. That's pretty powerful. That's tough to counteract, but that's not where the public is.
Right. And he could force a special session by refusing to pass things like the state budget or whatever until
the budget. That's the one thing that's constitutionally required to be passed.
Right.
Exactly.
So 50,000 jobs estimated rely on this industry. If that goes away, what are we talking about? What do these people do?
Well, they move to another state and then they ship it in here. It's as simple as that.
So
unless we're going to.
What happens now? You think Governor Abbott will see it your way, or will he, you know, allow it to become law?
Not necessarily see it my way. See it the way Texans see it. Poll after poll after poll has confirmed where the public is. This is a new day and age. People are looking for natural, organic alternatives.
And there'll be a backlash if this becomes law?
Absolutely.
All right, they'll pay a price. Mark Bordas, he is the executive director for the Texas Hemp Business Council. Mark, thank you so much for explaining all this to us. We appreciate that.
No, thank you for your time. Appreciate the opportunity.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.